2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
Welcome into the Jazz Notes podcast, a end of season edition. Trevor Allen alongside Austin Facer. It is Wednesday night, April 24th, and the Utah Jazz have just been eliminated from the NBA playoffs in Game 5 after losing to the Rockets 100-93 down in Houston, and lose the series 4-1. Austin.
Yes.
Season's over now.
It's done. It's over.
What were your thoughts just on the game itself, and then we'll go into the series?
Well, I thought it was emblematic of, you know, all four of Utah's losses this series. They didn't deserve to win. That sounds a little harsh. Hopefully I don't get vilified too much by the Jazz community. But the Jazz just didn't get production from the guys they needed to, and it was ultimately costly. And, you know, that's a wrap on the season for them.
You know, I thought that as we were going through the series, games 1-2, you know, they were getting better.
Sure.
I mean, I'll obviously, you couldn't get much worse than in game 1.
No, not really.
Game 2 was still hurt a little bit, but it wasn't that bad. But then as soon as you get to game 5, I mean, you had chances to win on the road.
Yep.
They were down by 1 point with 1:09 left when Rubio airballed that corner 3-pointer,
mm-hmm.
which that kind of really ended it right there, because then they were, you know, forced to foul and, you know, things like that. And it, well, not really forced to foul, but they did foul, and the Rockets just were able to hit their shots at the foul line. But I thought for the most part, and, you know, Donovan Mitchell talked about this after the game, that James Harden wasn't fantastic.
No, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
You know, he had 26 points, but he went 10 of 26 from the field, 3 of 12 from downtown.
Well, here's the weird thing. He only shot 5 foul shots in the game.
Yeah.
Incredibly uncharacteristic. I looked it up when I was writing a little story on this. I think he usually shoots around 11 a game.
Mm-hmm.
So he got almost exactly half of what he usually gets there. And the Jazz, it was a weird, another off night by Harden. And the Jazz weren't able to take advantage of it again. And I think that'll be the story of the last three games, really.
But then you end up looking on the flip side of that. Donovan Mitchell wasn't that great shooting the basketball.
He was horrible. I think there's no other way to say it. He was really bad, and I think he would admit that for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you know, he did say after the game, he's like, you know, I wasn't that great tonight, but I will be better. And he alluded to one of the things that he wanted to work on in the offseason was just to be in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
And which is kind of weird coming from a 22-year-old, you know, it's probably easier to be in good shape. So
I would imagine. Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering if maybe he's going to change his diet a little bit and, you know, just start working out more and really just staying in the gym.
Yeah, it's possible we could see like a more bulky Donovan Mitchell. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, that's going to be up to him and probably a lot of the people, you know, closely involved with the team, kind of to rebuild his body. You know, we've seen superstars, you know, take an off season and completely change the way their physique looks, and ultimately that has a big impact on their game. We'll see what he ultimately means by that he needs to get in better shape. But yeah, I think Mitchell's inability to really impact the game tonight was huge. I mean, it really was what cost the Jazz tonight.
Just to go on Harden real quick, and then I want to go back to Mitchell because I've actually seen some things on Twitter after the game about how Jazz fans feel about Donovan Mitchell, and you know, frankly, it needs to be addressed. But James Harden, as far as getting to the foul line, he went 29 of 32 for the entire series. Mm. The only time he spent a lot of time at the foul line was in Game 3. He was 14 of 16 at the line, but that was when he shot 3 of 20 from the field. And, you know, they still won by 3. But other than that, he was 3 for 3 in Game 1, 4 for 5 in Game 2, 8 for 8 in Game 4, and then 3 for 5 tonight in Game 5.
To me, it sounds like part of the strategy that the Jazz implemented on him might have worked then, if that was what they were going for, was limiting, I guess, the kind of style he usually likes to play. I think that, to me, those numbers tell me that, you know, he was forced to change the way he plays a lot. But, you know, ultimately, like we've been saying, you know, the Rockets just found a way to win, not only with Harden, you know, getting his other teammates involved, but with his other teammates exceeding, you know, expectations, I think.
Yeah, and then so now I want to shift gears to Donovan Mitchell. I've seen tweets, especially after Donovan's poor performance. I mean, Donovan will say it. You've also said it. It wasn't the best game. It wasn't like Game 4 where Donovan took over the game.
Not at all.
He wasn't able to do that. He really struggled shooting the basketball. But I was seeing fans, and I think a lot of them, you know, come tomorrow, maybe even a couple days later, are going to wish that they wouldn't have said that, kind of like the think before you tweet kind of thing.
Sure.
And that is that Donovan Mitchell isn't a guy that the Jazz should, you know, surround their team around. And I think that that's a little ridiculous.
No, I don't think it's fair at all.
Donovan's 22 years old.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Someone else tweeted out, and I know Kobe Bryant, you know, we're sitting here comparing him to Kobe Bryant is maybe not fair, but somebody said that Kobe Bryant averaged, I think it was 15 points per game in his second season in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Kobe came out of high school, so he was probably, I think he was 19, 20.
Sure.
But, to you know, the fact that Donovan has already been in big moments, has made big plays, he is the reason why the Jazz won Game 4 and did not get swept.
There's a huge reason why they won 50 games this year, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah, he wasn't shooting the ball well, but if anybody says, you know, prior to the Jazz drafting him, you traded Trey Lyles and Tyler Lydon for Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think won that trade?
Well, clearly the Jazz.
Because Trey Lyles isn't doing anything for the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Lydon, I don't even think he's on the roster. I think he's in the G League. Nothing against the G League.
G League's great.
But Donovan Mitchell he's come in right away and has made an impact on this Jazz team, especially at a time where you needed somebody because Gordon Hayward decided to leave you high and dry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that Donovan decided to take upon himself and has been, I think, phenomenal. He has been exactly what this Jazz team needs at the exact right time, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people right now who are, you know, jumping off the Donovan bandwagon, and I think they're going to end up regretting that as he, you know, looks to improve on what is kind of which has been a tough series for him. You know, after the game, Quinn Snyder talked about he didn't mince words. He said, you know, as Donovan goes, we go. And, I mean, tonight was a perfect example of that, but Quinn also continued to say that, you know, he thinks Donovan has responded to adversity before in his career, and he's improved from it, and he expects the same thing from him. So I think there's certainly some cause to lose a little faith in Donovan, but I think the bigger picture has to be, you know, that he can come back and improve.
I'm not going to call out names because I feel like that this isn't the, you know, place to do it on you know, the podcast, and that it isn't fair to the people who've worked hard on this podcast. But I want to call out the, you know, Jazz fan and actually read the tweet that I'm talking about here. And, you know, it's only one of them. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of Jazz fans who are probably feeling the same way. But this is one that, you know, popped up on my feed. And it was a media member tweeting out that, you know, the Jazz are not skipping steps. Donovan and Rudy are young, but that the roster upgrades are badly needed to, you know, take the next step, which is right. You know,
sure.
Donovan and Rudy are both really young. And you just need to have guys who could come in and shoot the ball really well and every night. And one of the fans, you know, quote tweeted, "Can we please stop with this already? Love the Jazz, but Mitchell isn't the answer. He will never be a reliable shot."
I don't think that's fair.
That isn't fair.
No.
He's in his second season in the NBA and he's learning. He also learned by getting his hands dirty in the first round last year against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go up against Paul George and Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And he was phenomenal in that series. He also played really well at times without Ricky Rubio and having to play point guard as a rookie in the second round against the Rockets last year. And the Rockets took the Golden State Warriors to 7 games in the Western Conference Finals last year and could probably do it this year too. The Rockets, and maybe even beat the Warriors. I mean, the last we checked, the Warriors were losing to the Clippers in Game 5.
Yeah, that's true. The one thing I will say, though, is, yeah, I think that first tweet you read definitely, you know, speaks volumes, definitely illustrates what the Jazz need to do. I think there are a lot of roster updates that need to be made, upgrades, I should say. I think one guy who, in particular... I mean, obviously, Ricky Rubio's shot was the story of the last minute of the game. And it very well may have been his last shot in a Jazz uniform. His contract's up at the end of the year, or now, I guess we should say. And, you know, after all the midseason talk that surrounded him as far as, you know, being traded potentially for Mike Conley, I think I would be really surprised if the Jazz bring him back. What do you think, Trev?
I mean... The thing is that if you end up bringing Rubio back, is he going to be is he going to have the expectations of being the starting point guard again? Or is he okay taking a bench role? You know, thing is that Rubio's been in the league for quite a while. I think he's kind of, you know, he's kind of a tweener between a, you know, starting point guard in the NBA. I mean, you know, his very first playoff series was in a Jazz uniform last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing for the Timberwolves, you know, he was starting point guard and moving to the bench and, you know, all that stuff. To me, and it isn't anything against Rubio, it's just his style of play. He's a pass first and play defense type of point guard. He's not, you know, a shooter type point guard, and that's kind of what the NBA is going to now, is point guards who are able to shoot it as well as be able to pass the ball.
Well, it doesn't help that I think a lot of Jazz fans now are lusting after Damian Lillard, mm-hmm. considering the night he had the other night.
Steph Curry.
Oh, he's got to be. I mean, Damian himself has to be at the top of every Jazz fan's wish list right now. It's not going to happen.
That was
obviously
a phenomenal shot.
It was awesome. It was way cool. You know, I'll just break it to Jazz fans. I don't think he'll ever play in a Jazz uniform.
I don't think he'll ever leave Portland.
Yeah, so
because
I don't.
Portland will lock him down and pay him a lot of money.
Yeah, so I don't see that as like a realistic possibility. But I think the hope is that they can. Either Donovan can develop into that late-game kind of assassin, or they can get like a C.J. McCollum guy who can support him in the backcourt, you know, and they can get an excellent 1-2 tandem there. You know, a couple months ago, I wrote a very good article. It was very well-received by the community, where I said that I think the Jazz should try to pursue Kyrie Irving. You know, I'll defend what I wrote. I think they should still do that. I think they should still look into that. But yeah, I think the Jazz are definitely in need of a scoring point guard, and I think they're gonna probably move on from Ricky Rubio is my guess.
And again, you're not citing sources or anything, right? You're just
no, not at all. This
off,
is
off
totally
of
my opinion, completely
yeah.
my feeling.
You know, obviously there isn't gonna be any type of reports out there because they haven't even done exit interviews.
Yeah, they haven't done exit interviews. The Jazz are notoriously excellent at keeping things close to the chest as far as their plans. So
thing also too to maybe talk about is Derek Favors. His contract is not guaranteed next year.
That's true.
Is he a guy that you would bring back? I mean, he seemed to have I mean, to me, he was a big part of, you know, other than Donovan in game four, Derek Favors had a great, he was great in game four.
I think you could make the argument that the best three players for the Jazz series were, you could say Donovan, I guess, because of the impact he had in game four. Royce O'Neal was also excellent, mm-hmm. but I think probably the third was probably Derek Favors. So I think Derek made a really strong case as to why he should be brought back next year. It is a team option, so the Jazz will have the ability to make that decision. And yeah, like you were saying, I think he is a very valuable piece of the team, and I think it would be great to bring him back.
And you know, this is all quickly speculating on, because I mean, we have all the off season to Cleon will probably talk about this. I'm maybe you and I will jump on with him, but a lot of it is just kind of looking ahead quickly, but you kind of got to look at it right now to say, okay, what are you going after? And to me, you've got to upgrade, point guard play, unless Rubio is going to really make the effort to be a more consistent shooter. And that's really hard to do, especially at this point in his career. But you also need a stretch four who can consistently shoot it. And, people are like, well, what about Jay Crowder? Jay Crowder hasn't been consistent. And Jay Crowder,
he loves to shoot, though. He loves to shoot.
He does. But Jay also could play the three. Mm-hmm. Is the problem, and so you kind of want, and one that ends up popping out to me, and again, just like Austin, there's no reports out here, but I think there's a lot of Jazz fans who would like this, Tobias Harris.
Oh yeah, he's been talked about for probably like a year and a half.
If you're able to pry him away from Philadelphia, he would be a nice addition to this Jazz roster.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Just to quickly go over whose contracts are up at the end of this season. Tabo Cephalosha, Epe Udo, Royce. It looks like it's a team option.
I think he's guaranteed for next year, according to Hoops Hypes.
And then Rubio's Hoops contract hype. Is up. But other than that, you're bringing back Donovan, Haul, Grayson Allen, Tony Bradley, George Niang. Which, by the way, George Niang has had some nice moments too. From where he was at with the Salt Lake City Stars, playing through the G League.
Yeah, he grew a lot for sure.
Okay, now. Series wide, and maybe even going back to beginning of the season, just your overall thoughts on of how this season played out, and then also into the postseason.
I feel obviously we're reporters, so we try to be a little objective, but I think there's a part of us that are still fans,
mm-hmm.
And we want to see the Jazz do well. We get excited when they play well. As a Jazz fan, I feel a little disappointed with how the season went, and I think that's probably the consensus among most Jazz fans, especially considering how high the hype was to start the year, where a lot of national pundits were saying, oh, this is the team that could challenge the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and they really didn't even get a sniff at it. I'm planning a little season wrap that I want to write up for KSLSports.com. On just summarizing the year, I think there were just so many weird things about this year for the Jazz. And, ultimately, I don't feel great about the year in whole, as a whole.
I do a little bit, because they were able to get to 50 wins. And I know they're win amount isn't that great. It's not something that you want to, hang your hat on. But, the fact is that to me, a great season would have been getting home court advantage in the first round.
Yeah, I think so.
They weren't able to do that. They were close, but, and as far as, getting that, exit in the first round, they ran into a really good Rockets team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people looked at
there was a reason
them.
They didn't want to play them. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people have said in the past that the Rockets don't play defense. That's not the case anymore.
Clint Capella was excellent.
And they are elite on defense, and that they're top 10 in the league defensively, obviously one of the top three on offense, and they have a guy who could win the MVP, which I still don't think it's going to go to him. I think it's going to Giannis. But they ended up running into a really good Houston Rockets team that was just as hot post All-Star break as the Utah Jazz were.
I'd say they were hotter. They had won two more games in the
All-Star break,
so they were the hottest team in the league.
But also keep in mind, the Jazz also had a weaker schedule.
Yeah, for sure.
Post All-Star break.
I would be interested. We have locker room cleanout coming up. I'm not sure if I'll work up the guts to ask Quinn Snyder this. I hope someone else does. But I would be interested in his feeling as to whether that weaker schedule to end the year, you know, ended up lowering the standard of play for the Jazz. I mean, obviously there was the Nuggets game at the end of the year where they played really well. The Nuggets obviously finished with the second seed in the West. So that was a good game for sure. But I think you could clump the last like 10 or 15 games together, they played against some really bad teams. And I think that might have had an impact, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, say that you were to ask Quinn that, he's probably just going to say, I don't really care. All I do is look at who's next on our schedule and
sure.
plan around that. And, you know, every single coach is going to say that. They're not going to say, well, I wish that the, you know, scheduling people would, you know, help us out here a little bit and, you know, even it out to where we don't have such a daunting schedule, a gauntlet, you know, to start the regular season. And then after the All-Star break, it's a cakewalk.
I'll have to think about how I want to word that question because I'll have to word it very carefully. But yeah, I think that'd be interesting to ask. So, if I could just go back to my point though, what I was saying about like this being like a really weird year for the Jazz, I think like there are just so many things you could point to, like even like off the court that were really strange, and I think that ultimately affects my overall feeling on the year as well.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, I think even from like the start of the year, I kind of had a really weird feeling about the Jazz, and for me, it started when the Jazz Bear was let go at the start of the year. It would be ridiculous to think that had any impact on the on-court play, but it for me, like as a fan, I think it just really like kind of threw things out of whack for me. And then there was the Golden State game that same day, where they lost at the buzzer on the tip in by Jarebko. That also was a little disappointing too. So I'm thinking of like three or four other things that were just really weird. Obviously the Russell Westbrook thing.
Yeah.
His interaction with the fan was definitely the low light of the year. There was some good that came out of that. Kyle Korver had a great article, showed a lot of good leadership. But, man, it was a really weird year, I think, for the Jazz. And I think a lot of fans are going to be left, like, unsatisfied.
Something, and, you know, we'll end on this. And, you know, obviously, Cleon and everyone will have stuff from Walker Queen out and, you know, throughout the offseason into the, you know, draft and free agency. But I'm wondering of what this series would have been like if Dante Exum was healthy all year.
I think that's interesting. I mean, Dante Exum, I hope he's not listening because I'm going to say something really harsh, probably has my vote for least valuable player on the team this year.
Well, he hasn't really been able to play much.
So, I mean, it's not fair to say. Like, if I were like a university professor giving him a grade, I'd probably just give him like a no credit, you know, let him retake the class.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. But
he's still getting paid.
But yeah, I think, you know, his length and athleticism was really missed. So I think that's an interesting point.
Especially in this series.
I
feel like he would have been able to make a really big impact in the series because he did last year in the Rockets series. You know, he played really well when he was in. But, you know, it's just kind of he's hit that injury bug, and I think people are starting to move on from him, even though he did just sign a 3-year deal.
Yeah, it feels like they call it Exum Island, I think, on Twitter. The people who, you know, believe in him and think that he can succeed.
It's definitely an island.
It's an island. It's pretty barren right now, I think.
Yeah. So, well, as always, you guys can check out all of the, you know, articles. You know, Austin and I have been busy, as well as, you know, our entire staff throughout the entire season. But also during the playoffs, you can go over to kslsports.com. Check that out. You can also check out the podcast there and wherever you find them. But also, you know, just check out all the articles. And obviously stay tuned throughout the offseason. You know, we're not done with Jazz coverage throughout. We're going to be heavily involved into the draft. We're going to be heavily involved in free agency. And obviously with Locker Queen, now Austin and I will both be there. So until then, see ya.
Bye.